Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your blessings, and we thank you for your truths, Lord God. We thank you, Creator, for creating this world for us to live in and to be a part of. And Lord God, for revealing yourself to us, revealing your plan to us, O God, in saving us, Lord God, from destruction. We thank you for it all. We thank you, Lord, for your mercies. And we ask, God, that you would teach us today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start at 41, which is, since there's no page numbers, it's at the top of the page. It says Astronomical Secrets. Everybody know where we're at? It says Astronomical Secrets. Right under that it says 41 and then starts with the verses. And that's where I want to start. It says, after that I saw all the secrets of the heavens and how the kingdom is divided and how the actions of men are weighed in the balance. And there I saw the mansions of the elect and the mansions of the holy. And mine eyes saw there all the sinners being driven from thence, which deny the name of the Lord of spirits. And being dragged off, they could not abide because of the punishment which proceeds from the Lord of spirits. And there mine eyes saw secrets of the lightnings and of the thunders, and the secrets of the wind, and how they divided to blow over the earth, and the secrets of the clouds and dew. And there I saw from whence they proceeded in that place, and from whence they saturate the dusty earth. And there I saw closed chambers, out of which the winds are divided, the chambers of the hail and the winds, chamber of the mist and of the clouds, and of the clouds thereof hovers over the earth from the beginning of the world. Now, I want to stop there and then back up to what we read a little bit earlier about the secrets of the heavens. And in verse 2, how the actions of men are weighed in the balance. Have you heard that term anywhere else? Yeah, no kidding. Daniel 9:27, I think, speaks to that the actions of men are weighed in the balance. This is exactly the same terminology. To Enoch, that's a revelation. Daniel saw it and said, yes, the actions of men are weighed in the balance. And there are several other places. Remember Belshazzar? He's having this party and he goes and he gets out all of the implements out of the temple of God that his father had taken in there. He brought them out and they all started drinking and having a party using God's holy implements. And the Lord came down, wrote on the wall, okay, the writing on the wall, and said, you, Belshazzar, have been weighed and found wanting. Been weighed in the balance and found wanting. And so we're seeing the same thing here. And he also saw something that was interesting. He saw the mansions of the elect. That's God's elect. So when Jesus said that there are mansions in heaven, if it weren't so, I would have told you, he's echoing. Remember that when Jesus came, it was probably at least 300 years after the book of Enoch that we have. So if this had been around for a long, long time, and it's a Jewish book, it's not a Christian book, it's a Jewish book, and so when they were talking about mansions, it would have been common knowledge that at least Enoch and some of those who followed along Enoch's ways would have said, yeah, there are mansions for the elect in heaven. And Jesus says, well, yeah, there is. I would have told you if it wasn't. And I go to prepare a place for you, for the elect. But he also says there's mansions of the holy. And I believe that's really gone a step beyond just those who are elect, but those who are holy, and probably is referring to angels. That God is, it's, the heaven's got places for the angels and places for the men. And then, but it also goes in. Boy, this is pretty heavy stuff. Can't preach this stuff today. The people being dragged off, not being allowed to be there and to see that and to do that because of sin, and the punishment proceeding directly from the Lord of Spirits, directly from God. The Lord Himself is saying no to them and their activities. Then, of course, we come on out, and he begins to say that I am seeing portals, chambers, from which the winds blow on the earth. And that this entire section, and I'll warn you ahead of time, is talking about the fact that the world in which we live isn't just a set of temperatures and winds that are allowed to just go blow. Okay? That there, it's not like a ball that's been set on motion and going down the hill. And it's just going to run amok or go wherever it wants to go because it's just a bunch of laws, of natural laws running wherever they're going to run. He's saying, no, that's not true. He's saying that everything from the wind to the thunders to the lightnings, all of these things are being controlled from another realm, from another location, and that God is in charge of the angels who are in charge of making sure that everything is running and doing what it should do. This is the only way, by the way, you can explain someone standing on a boat saying to the wind, stop blowing. That's the only way you can explain it, is that he wasn't speaking just to the wind. He was speaking to the powers behind the wind, speaking to the powers, okay, and speaking to them and saying, you stop this. And they go, okay, whatever you say, sir. And he straightens it out. Now, you also have to understand that when it talks about astronomical things, sun and the moon and the stars and these type of things, that sometimes he's talking about the physical, what we see with our eyes when you look out there. But most of the time, he's not. Most of the time, what's being referenced here are spiritual realities connected to those things. We will find when we read here that there is what he calls the path of the moon or the orbit of the moon. And he says, and there is the visible and the invisible. Okay, he is being shown, Enoch will be shown, things that are invisible to everyone else, invisible to you and me. And the only time you're going to get to see it is if God opens your eyes in the spirit. And then suddenly this whole world looks completely different. You cannot believe what you're standing in and what's going on around you unless you could just step to the other side and see in the spirit. And the angels are capable of doing that. The angels are capable of existing there and here at the same time, coming in and going out, how they appear to you, how they manifest themselves to you. Amen? Okay, let's read it. Verse 4, I saw from whence they proceed in that place, from whence they saturate the dusty earth. And there I saw closed chambers, and out of which the winds are divided. The chamber of the hail and the winds, the chamber of the mist, the chamber of the clouds, and the cloud thereof hovers over the earth from the beginning of the world. Now that's Genesis 1, when there was a swaddling cloth or a cloud over the face of the deep. Genesis 2. I thought you said two clouds. Oh no. Okay, praise the Lord. Ta-da, ta-da, ta-da. Hovers over the earth and from the beginning of the world. And I saw the chambers of the moon, sun and the moon, whence they proceed, whether they come again. And their glorious return, and how one is superior to the other. And their stately orbit, now he does understand that they're orbiting, and how they do not leave their orbit, and they add nothing to their orbit, and they take nothing from it. And they keep faith with each other, in accordance with the oath by which they are bound together. The first And first the Son goes forth and traverses his path according to the commandment of the Lord of Spirits. And mighty is his name forever and ever. You'll also find that he does that all the time. Enoch will start praising God. And mighty is his name forever and ever. And after that I saw the hidden and the visible path of the moon. And she accomplishes the course of her path in that place by day and by night, the one holding a position opposite to the other before the Lord of Spirits. And they gave thanks and praise and rest not, for unto them is their thanksgiving rest. There's that, those two paths. Now, if the Lord shows you something, I'm interested in why they're opposite one to the other. Because he's saying here, the path day and night, holding a position opposite to each other. Now, if he's thinking about the sun and the moon, but there are times, and he admits it in here, when he talks about the moon and the sun rising together. And they do. You know, we don't see that, but they do. If you know anything about the moon, you know the moon's there all the time. It's just when it's not at night, you don't see it. Sometimes you'll see it early in the morning or late in the afternoon. You'll see it up there. But the understanding of the fact that they do that is true. For the sun, yeah. You mean specifically why? Because I don't know. Anybody know? I mean, the moon has always been referred to in the feminine. I mean, it just simply is. And this would have been a very, very early reference to that. Okay? But it's the opposite of saying it, because you always have to say something. When you refer to something, if it's not an it, okay, then it has gender. It has to have gender, one way or the other.
Well, it's the lesser of the two bodies, right? So maybe that's the moon. Because
what if it's not even greater than the moon? Well, see, scripturally, when we see, like in Revelation 12, it says, you know, there's the sun and the moon and the 12 stars. And the sun was the man and the moon was the woman. Okay, of a family, in a family type situation. So there's lots of use of it that way. For the sun changes oft for a blessing or a curse. And the curse and the course, excuse me, of the path of the moon is light to the righteous and darkness to the sinners. In the name of the Lord, who made a separation between the light and the darkness, and divided the spirits of men, and strengthened the spirits of the righteous in the name of his righteousness. So you could get a doctrine from this. Our righteousness is his righteousness. It's not our own. And he separates it between the light and the darkness. And it's interesting that the moon is seen as something very positive to the righteous and very negative to the unrighteous. For no angel hinders, and no power is able to hinder, for he, God, appoints a judge for them all, and he judges them all before him. Wisdom hath no place that she might dwell. Then a dwelling place was assigned her in heaven. Now, if you've ever read Proverbs, you know that Proverbs is full of wisdom. And it's a woman, or it's in the female. People are back here rooting for the female. And that basically talks about how wisdom came forth and went through the streets in Proverbs. Goes through the streets and says, how long are you simple going to love your simplicity? How long do you, you know, basically are you going to walk in darkness just for the sake of walking in darkness? And so he begins to deal with them. And here it says, wisdom went forth to make her dwelling among the children of men. Same thing as Proverbs. And found no dwelling place. Wisdom returned to her place, which is assigned in the heavens, and took her seat among the angels. Okay, in the heavens. And unrighteousness went forth from her chambers, who she sought not, she found, and dwelt with them as rain in a desert and dew on a thirsty land. You know, that's really what God talks about, that he has a people that he didn't originally invite, that he sought not. And these people chose him. I believe you were talking about the church, that God says, you know, open. Well, we heard it today in the service. He opened it up and said, go into the byways and the highways and bring somebody in. And those somebodies came in, and some of those people really sought God, and God honored them, and wisdom dwelt with them. And it's like a rain in a desert and dew in a thirsty land. Boy, praise God. Okay, 43. And I saw other lightnings and the stars of heaven. Now, I circle stars there and say angels. And I saw how he called them all by their names, and they hearkened unto him. Okay? Big nuclear reactors and explosions don't react and don't respond, but angels do. That's why I believe that we're talking about they have names and they hearken unto him. And I saw how they are weighed in a righteous balance according to their proportions of light, understanding, faithfulness, all the things that bring light. And I saw the width of their spaces and the day of their appearing and how their revolution produces lightning. And I saw their revolution according to the number of the angels, and how they keep faith with each other. And I asked the angel who went with me, who showed me what was hidden, what are these? So now we know for sure that what we're seeing isn't something you and I can see. Get the biggest telescope you want and look up there. You will not be able to tell what he's talking about, because it's hidden. And he's having to ask a spiritual being, the angel that is taking him. And remember, he's being taken around. He's being shown around all the secrets of heaven. And that was hidden. What are these? And he said to me, the Lord of spirits hath showed thee the parabolic meaning. And it says here, literally, they're parable. These are the names of the holy who dwell on the earth and believe in the name of the Lord of spirits forever and ever. So we're being told here for sure, this is not what he's seeing in the natural, but he's seeing a parabolic or a parable of something rather than just seeing the wall. He's seeing walls that aren't there. He's seeing things that you can't see. And the angel's saying, God has chosen to tell you this. He chooses, every one of us in here, through faith, have seen things that you can't see any other way. You know you have. That's why you're here. Also, another phenomenon I saw in regard to the lightnings, how some of the stars, angels, arise and become lightnings and cannot part with their new form. And this is the second parable concerning those who deny the name of the dwelling of the holy ones and the Lord of spirits. I know you want to talk about this, don't you? I was kind of hoping you could tell me. The truth of the matter is here is that we're not talking about things in the natural. Angels are spiritual beings. They're physical beings. They're able to change their form and do different things. He's saying here that he has seen an angel turn into a bolt of lightning or something like lightning, go off and do something never to be seen again. And when he changed into that form, boom, it's over with and they're gone. And he says they're just gone. They don't come back. They don't turn around and come back and suddenly reappear. Whether they do or don't, I don't know. But what he's seeing is that here they are, an angel, and it's an angel with a personality, an angel with thought, with with actions and wanting to do what God has told them to do. They're given an order, and like lightning, they shoot off to go do that. And they turn into lightning, and they don't come back in the same form. Or they never come back, and he never sees them. Although he does say they cannot part with that form. So, this is the second parable concerning those who deny the name of the dwelling of the Holy Ones and the Lord of Spirits. Isn't that interesting? It's the name of the dwelling. Where does God dwell? Yeah. Mm-hmm. There are literally millions and millions and millions of angels. Yeah. And these angels are under what we were talking about. They called them archangels a little earlier. And the archangels basically just say, arch means to cover. They're the ones that are standing there saying, okay, you go here, you go there, you do this, you do that. And, of course, they're receiving their direction directly from God. And it's the way God chose to run his kingdom. He has chose to allow the angels to have a part in it. In the same way that at a lower level on earth, he has chosen to allow us to have a part in his kingdom too. He has brought us in and says, your responsibility is to give the good news to everyone else, that no one else should perish. Okay? It's not the color of the carpet. Okay? It's not anything else. It's all about souls. When the rugs are all rolled up and the doors are all closed, it's only souls that make a difference. Amen? And into the heaven they shall not ascend. That's these ones that deny God. And on the heaven they shall not come. And on the earth they shall not come. Such shall be the lot of the sinners who have denied the name of the Lord of Spirits, who are thus preserved for the day of suffering and tribulation. These people are reserved. It's a doctrine. And on that day, mine elect one shall sit on the throne of glory and shall try their words. Now, mine there is God, the Lord of Spirits. And on that day, God's Christ, the elect one, shall sit on the throne of glory and shall try their works. And their places of rest shall be innumerable. And their souls shall grow strong within them when they see mine elect ones, the believers. This is not the elect one, the elect ones, and those who have called upon my glorious name. Whew. Then I will cause mine elect one to dwell among them, and I will transform the heaven and make it an eternal blessing and light, and I will transform the earth and make it a blessing, and I will cause mine elect ones to dwell upon it, but the sinners and the evildoers shall not set foot thereon, for I have provided and satisfied with peace my righteous ones, and I have caused them to dwell before me. But for the sinners, there's a judgment impending with me, so that I shall destroy them from the face of the earth. Heavy, heavy stuff. You know, this is the kind of stuff we're not supposed to preach or teach today because it's not inclusive. I think it is inclusive. Everybody's in here somewhere. It's just a choice of where you want to be. Whether you're going to be one of mine elect ones and to dwell with God and to have a place with God. He is literally calling people out in here and saying that he wants to dwell among them, and mine elect one will dwell among them too. The anointed one, the Christ, Jesus in our case, we know who he is. We know him by name. They didn't know him by his proper name here, Yahshua. But that he's going to dwell with his people, and they're all going to dwell with God the Father. That's Revelations. And there I saw one who had a head of days, and his head was white like wool, and with him was another being whose countenance had the appearance of a man, and his face was full of graciousness like one of the holy angels. Now, this white with the hair light, white like wool, you can go to Daniel 7:9, the Ancient of Days. It's a good description of God the Father, the Ancient of Days that we see. But it's also a good description of our Lord in Revelation 1:14. I suppose, like Father, like Son. Go ahead. Well, I guess I hadn't thought of whether or not the hair was had body. That's the word they use now. Give me body. Yeah, no, I understand. Yeah. Oh, that's a texture. The white is a color. And I think that's what's being referred to. And the other two references, biblical references, are referring to the white being that of holiness, basically, the white hair. But when you get there, we might be able to say, hey, yeah, it does look like wool. I'll let you handle that. But the other one has the appearance of a man, and his face was full of graciousness like one of the holy angels. Now, this is a very special man. Yeah, hang on here. And I asked the angel who went with me and showed me all things, all the hidden things concerning that Son of Man. Thank you, Linda, for leading us into the next verse, who he was, and whence he was. So he wants to know concerning the Son of Man, why he went with the head of days, God the Father. Who is this that gets to hang out with God like that? Okay, who is this guy? And he looks like a man, has the appearance of a man, the Son of Man. And he answered and said unto me, this is the Son of Man, the Son of Man, who hath righteousness, and with whom dwelleth righteousness, and who revealeth all the treasures of all that which is hidden, because the Lord of spirits hath chosen him. He is the elect one. We've been reading about the elect one. This is the elect one. And whose lot hath the preeminence before the Lord of spirits in uprightness forever. This is not just a temporary position that he has given. This is going to be his position forever. And this Son of Man, whom thou hast seen, shall raise up the kings and the mighty from their seats, and the strong from their thrones, and shall loosen the reins of the strong and break the teeth of the sinners. He's going to be the one who judges the earth. And shall put down the kings from their thrones and the kingdoms, because they do not extol and praise him. Now, isn't that interesting? Angels can't do that. Angels never receive praise and worship. But this guy, this Son of Man, says you're in trouble for one reason, and that is because you refused me. And you refused to extol me, and you refused to praise me, him. Nor humbly acknowledge whence the kingdom was bestowed upon them. In other words, they won't even take and acknowledge that Jesus has been given the kingdom. And it's not just with him. We're going to find out it is of them. Because the kingdom goes. Yes?
It had not been yet revealed that the Christ was going to come and be crucified and have his blood shed. Or did he just have, I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I understand. And I think that whether, when he, remember, the Bible teaches that he was with the Father from the beginning, before anything. There was nothing before him because he is the arm of the Lord. He is the Father. He even tells the disciples, look, I tell you that when you see me, you've seen the Father. Haven't you figured that out by now? Okay, that we are Ahad, we are one. Okay, so Jesus is a manifestation of God as man, Emmanuel. Okay, and so as a man, he looks like a man, but in every other respect, he is indeed God, God with man. Jesus, the little boy who was born in Bethlehem, had to learn that. But Jesus, the Son of God, who came to do that. In other words, I'm sure that he knew. But we'll see in here in just a little bit more reading that there were certain things hidden. That were hidden because of those who would try and stop that if they understood it. See, and that's what the Bible says. It says, had the princes of darkness known, they would have never crucified him. Yes, absolutely. I think he knew why he was sent. And then as a young boy, and then later as a young man, understood the call that God had given him. But that would have been a process. What time do we have? Okay, we'll keep going. Somebody raised their hand. Okay, I'll keep going. And he shall put down, okay, and he shall put down the countenance of the strong and shall fill them with shame, and darkness shall be their dwelling and worms shall be their bed. And they shall have no hope of rising from their beds because they do not extol the name of the Lord of spirits. Now, I believe that what's being talked about here is that no hope of rising from their graves. There's no resurrection to righteousness for the wicked. No resurrection. But there is a resurrection. See, because he's saying they have no hope. He's not saying there isn't a hope. And these are they who judge the stars of heaven and raise their hands against the Most High and tread down the earth and dwell upon it. And all their deeds manifest unrighteousness. And their power rests in their riches, and their faith is in the gods which they have made with their hands. And they deny the name of the Lord of spirits, and they persecute the house of his congregations, and the faithful who hang upon the name of the Lord of spirits. I think that it's talking there when it says the faithful who hang upon the name. I think that's talking about trusting. The faithful who trust in the name of the Lord of spirits. And as unrighteous, these guys are doing just about everything. And they have their riches, and they have everything they've got. They've made their own gods to suit their own needs. And away they go. No hope of resurrection. Yeah. Man. And in those days, they shall have ascended the prayer. And in those days shall have ascended the prayer of the righteous and the blood of the righteous from the earth before the Lord of spirits. In those days, the holy ones who dwell above in the heavens, shall unite with one voice and supplicate and pray and praise and give thanks and bless the name of the Lord of spirits on behalf of the blood of the righteous, which has been shed. And that the prayer of the righteous may not be in vain before the Lord of spirits, that judgment may be done unto them, that they may not have to suffer forever. Now here, there are righteous people. You know, there is that point that we see in the book of Revelations, when there are 10,000 times 10,000, and there are all of these saints, and all of the church, and all of the angels standing around the throne, all in one, and we see it. And they're praising God. I think that's what's being referred to here when it says that there will come that day when everyone in one will do that. And that they may not have to suffer forever. There's a suffering that takes place before that. In those days I saw the head of days when he seated himself upon the throne of his glory, and the books of the living were opened before him. And all his host, which is in heaven above, and his counselors stood before him. And the hearts of the holy were filled with joy, because the number of the righteous had been offered, and the prayer of the righteous had been heard, and the blood of the righteous had been required before the Lord of spirits. Being required. You know, there's a place in the book of Revelations where there are literally those who have been beheaded for their testimony. And they're under the throne and they're anxious. They're saying, how long, faithful and true, till you avenge our blood upon those who dwell upon the earth? He says, just a little bit and it'll take place. Here, give these guys some white robes to wear. Get them busy. And get ready to come back to do what they need to do. Say that again. Did it say that? Oh yeah, in Revelations there are the martyrs. Okay, those, and it says that. Yeah. Oh yeah, they're there. Oh, I mean, unfortunately, I've seen pictures of those who are being beheaded right now today, almost every day in the Middle East, and. Yeah, it's a little more specific there. This just refers to suffering. It's interesting. It says the books of the living were opened. Remember, well, we call it the book of life. That you have to have your name written in the Lamb's book of life. Okay. That you might be included in all these things. Well, here we go. We got books now. The same as what we would find in our New Testament. I mean, even though the New Testament comes 100 years after this particular book was found, and probably thousands of years before it was actually brought through the flood. And then this is the fount of righteousness, the Son of Man, the stay of the righteous, and the judgment of the kings and the mighty. This is cool. And in that place I saw the fountain of righteousness, which was inexhaustible. And around it were many fountains of wisdom, and they all drank of them and were filled with wisdom, and their dwellings were with the righteous and the holy and elect. This is in heaven. Remember the waters, the living waters that flow, and all the stuff that's going on in heaven? This is his best description of what he's seeing. And at that hour the Son of Man was named in the presence of the Lord of spirits. And his name before the head of days. Remember he had a name that no man knew? Okay, well, amazing. Yea, before the sun and the signs were created, before the stars of the heavens were made, his name, the name of the elect one, was named before the Lord of spirits. He shall be a staff to the righteous, whereon to stay themselves and not fall. And he shall be a light of the Gentiles. Sound familiar? Try Luke 2:31 and 32. That Jesus would be a light unto the Gentiles. This is what the man said when Jesus was brought into the temple. And the old man said, now I can die. I've seen it. He's a light unto the Gentiles. And the hope of those who are troubled of heart, and who dwell on the earth, shall fall down and shall worship before him, and will bless, praise and bless, and celebrate with song the Lord of spirits. For this reason he hath been chosen and hidden before God, before the creation of the world, and forevermore. Jesus Christ was hidden. That's why nobody knew about it. That's why Lucifer had no idea what was going on. Because God the Father had chosen him, taken him, and set him aside and said, hang on here, your day will come. This is, and he set Jesus aside, and he was hidden. And the wisdom of the Lord of spirits hath revealed him. To who? to the holy and righteous, for he hath preserved the lot of the righteous. So only the righteous and the holy will know the Lord. Because they have hated and despised the world of unrighteousness. Isn't that what Jesus says? He says, love not the world nor the things of the world. You want to be a friend of the world, you'll be at enmity with God. And it says, but they, the righteous, have despised and hated this world of unrighteousness, and have hated all its works and its ways in the name of the Lord of spirits. For in his name are they saved, or they are saved. In the name of the Son of Man, in the name of Jesus. This is what the Jews of Jesus' day had as a reference, if they had used it, to know that he had come and was fulfilling what God wanted. And according to his good pleasure, our Lord, had it been in regard to their life. In these days, downcast in countenance, shall the kings of the earth have become, and the strong who possess the land, because of the work of their hands. For on the day of their anguish and affliction, they shall not be able to save themselves. This world's coming to an end, and they can't save themselves. Can you get me a Kleenex? Thank you. And I will give them over into the hands of mine elect. As straw in the fire, so they shall burn before the face of the holy. As lead in the water shall they sink before the face of the righteous, and no trace of them shall any more be found. And on the day of their affliction shall be rest on the earth. So when the judgment comes, the earth is going to rest. In our scriptures it says that they break forth into singing, for no man comes up against them anymore. When the Antichrist is destroyed, the Assyrian, it says literally that the earth breaks into singing. And on that day of their affliction, there shall be rest on the earth, and before them they shall fall and not rise again, and there shall be no one to take them with his hands and raise them, for they have denied the Lord of spirits and his anointed. The name of the Lord of spirits be blessed. Praise the Lord. The earth shall rest. Okay, 49. For wisdom, here she is again, only it's a he this time. How is that? For wisdom is poured out like water, and glory faileth not before him forevermore. For he is mighty in all the secrets of righteousness, and unrighteousness shall disappear as a shadow and have no countenance, continuance. Because the elect one standeth before the Lord of spirits, and his glory is forever and ever, and his might unto all generations. I just want to make a reference to, you know, when we talk about the Son of Man in here, we were referring to this Son of Man, what he would do. Jesus is called the Son of Man over 60 times in the New Testament. I was kind of surprised. Now, it's not that he's called that 60 times, but there are 60 different references in the different Gospels and everything to the Son of Man and referring to Jesus. And in him dwelleth the spirit of wisdom, and the spirit which gives insight, and the spirit of understanding and might, and the spirit of those who have fallen asleep in righteousness. Wow. All of that is in the elect one. The insight. You know, we're told in the New Testament that Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Okay? And prophecy, of course, just basically covers everything. He is the spirit of prophecy, wisdom, insight, might, control, understanding, and those who have fallen asleep in righteousness. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Those who are asleep in righteousness. And he shall judge the secret things, and none shall be able to utter a lie before him. You know, don't try and tell him what he, you know. They try. The world tries. They'll stand up. There's a show on TV a while back, and I'm trying to remember the name of it. It's a police show, and they would fix a car up. That bait car. Anybody seen bait car? Yeah, Jerry. Bait car. Well, what they do is they fix this car up so they can turn it off and drive it and everything remotely, and they can lock the windows and roll the windows up and everything remotely, and they take it into a neighborhood where people are stealing cars, and they park it, and a guy gets out and says, "Oh, you know," and jumps out and runs somewhere. And all of a sudden, you see all these guys, you know, they look, and the guy just left his car, you know. That was really stupid. We ought to steal it. And so they run over there, and they jump in the car, they close the door, and they're laughing, they're going through the change. One guy's drinking the guy's Coke, you know, and they're doing all this stuff and having a good time driving around. And the whole time, they're being watched and filmed from cameras inside the car and everything. And anytime they want, they just hit the button, the thing goes down, the doors lock, and they go, "Oh, man." But when they get out of the car, all of them, they say, "We didn't steal this car. We didn't steal this car. The guy, I know the guy that owns this car, and he told me I could park it for him." Yeah, he had to leave. He jumped out and he left, and he said, "You go park that car for me." And so I got in and parked the car. And, you know, I mean, they all had their excuses. And I mean, some are just crazy. I mean, they make up a whole story. And they do it just like that. Well, they can't do that here. You can't utter a lie before the Lord. Lord, I don't think so. "For he is the elect one before the Lord of spirits according to his good pleasure." He's in charge of judgment. "And in those days a change shall take place for the holy and the elect, and the light of day shall abide upon them, and glory and honor shall turn to the holy." I believe there's a change that takes place, and that change is that the righteous will be transformed. We're all looking forward to that day, and here it is. Enoch is saying, yeah, in that day, all these righteous people, they took on this other stuff. Praise God. Amen. "On the day of affliction, on which evil shall have been treasured up against the sinners, and the righteous shall be victorious in the name of the Lord of spirits." Here's that battle. "And he will cause the others to witness this, that they may repent and forego the works of their hands." There is a process. Sometimes we think everything has to end in one day. God is not doing that. I don't think he's doing that today. I think we see things happen, and you see two people react to it differently. You'll see somebody just go, "Man, I got to turn to God. You know, the Lord's speaking to us. We need to change our ways." And there's repentance. And then on the other hand, you see other people say, "I don't understand why my insurance man hasn't gotten back to me." Okay? And it has nothing to do with me. This is all natural. The weather blows where the weather blows. "That they should forego the works of their hands. They shall have no honor through the name of the Lord of spirits." No relationship. "Yet through his name shall they be saved. And the Lord of spirits will have compassion on them, for his compassion is great." Do you realize that none of us deserves anything? Not one of us. We don't deserve it. But he does have repentance and compassion upon those. Remember the ones that get the same penny at the end of the day, even though they only work part of the day in the fields? Yeah, that's one of the parables. "And he, in righteousness, also in his judgment, and in the presence of his glory, unrighteousness shall not maintain itself. At his judgment, the unrepentant shall perish." That's the key, man, I tell you. You ever see and understand that you've messed up, don't wait 10 seconds to turn to God. "From henceforth, I will have no mercy on them, saith the Lord of spirits." From this point on, there is no more salvation. What time is it? It's what time? Oh, I'm used to the shit thing being there. Well, that clock says it's 25 after 2. Okay, I'm going to start. I'm going to keep going for right now. Is that okay? And y'all could have just shouted at me. It's 20 after 2. On the day, And in those days shall the earth also give back that which has been entrusted to it. And Sheol shall also give back that it has received. And hell shall give back that which it owes. Revelation 20:13. In those days the elect one shall rise. He shall choose the righteous and the holy from among them. For the day of has drawn nigh that they should be saved. This is that day. He's going to separate. And the elect one shall in those days sit on my throne, and his mouth shall pour out forth all the secrets of wisdom and counsel, and the Lord of spirits hath given to him and hath glorified him. Here it is. The elect one is going to sit on the throne of God. How can he do that? It's only because he is God. He sits at the right hand of the Father on the throne, sharing the and God's saying, he's sitting on the throne with me, and here's what he's going to do. Praise the Lord. How could they not have figured this out? I'm talking about the Jews of Jesus' day. And in those days shall the mountains leap like rams, and the hills shall also skip like lambs satisfied with milk, and the faces of all the angels in heaven shall be lighted up with joy, and the earth shall rejoice, and righteousness shall dwell upon it, the earth, and the elect shall walk therein. I think we've just entered into the millennium. And after those days, in that place where I have seen all the visions of that which is hidden, I had carried off in a whirlwind, and they had borne me towards the west. There mine eyes saw all the secret things of heaven, that shall be a mountain of iron, and a mountain of copper, and a mountain of silver, and a mountain of gold, mountain of soft metal, and a mountain of lead. Somebody asked me today, what's the soft metal? I don't know. What is it? Or aluminum? I don't know. Yeah, I hadn't thought about aluminum. Aluminum's semi-natural. I mean, aluminum is natural and it comes in its form, but you can't go find a bar of aluminum, but you can find a mountain of aluminum. Tin is an alloy, and it wouldn't be natural. Pardon? Yeah, that came up too. That came up because copper is reasonably soft. Well, I saw the lead. I would have called soft metal lead too, but lead was mentioned already. Say that again. Yeah. Brass. Yeah. Silver. Well, certainly, if we keep reading here, we'll find out what it's all about. And I asked the angel who went with me, saying, what things are these which I have seen in secret? And he said to me, all these things which thou hast seen shall serve the dominion of his anointed, that he may be potent and mighty on the earth. So these are resources for the anointed one when he's on earth. In other words, Jesus is going to be really rich. But it's there now. You know? Now, if we weren't all believers, we'd be going looking for the mountains of all this stuff. You know? But in this case, it's there and it's reserved. And by the way, it says it's hidden, doesn't it? It says these things are hidden. It said it right, you know, what are these things I've seen in secret? And the angel of peace answered and said unto me, wait a while, and there shall be revealed unto thee all the secrets which surround the Lord of spirits and these mountains which thine eyes have seen. So I'm going to hang on, because it says the mountain of iron, the mountain of copper, and the mountain of silver, and the mountain of gold, and the mountain of soft metal, and the mountain of lead. And all these shall be in the presence of the elect one as wax before the fire. This is talking to the fact that they won't be able to stand up to what happens. And we know that. We know that from the New Testament when it says all the elements shall melt and run away, and there'll be a new heaven and a new earth because the old earth has passed away. Yeah. Now he said, this is what's going to happen eventually to all of this. It's going to pass away. And it shall come to pass in those days that none shall be saved, either by gold or by silver, and none shall be able to escape. And there shall be no iron for war, nor shall one clothe themselves with a breastplate. Bronze shall be of no service, and tin shall be of no service at all. Shall not be esteemed, and lead shall not be desired. Now, that would indicate that tin falls in that sequence right where you were saying, Walt. It's going from bronze to tin to lead. And if it were in the same order up here, then tin might be what they were referring to. But I don't know that tin's particularly soft. Oh, okay. And all these things shall be destroyed from the face of the earth when the elect one shall appear before the face of the Lord of spirits. Now, you say, I thought we were going to live here for 1,000 years. The answer to that's yes, but we also know that at the end of 1,000 years, Satan is let out. There's going to be another war, people rounded up, and then the end comes. Where we enter into eternity, and there's a new heaven and new earth, new Jerusalem coming down out of the heavens, and all bets are off. The old earth is all gone. I believe that's what's being talked about here. Now, let's take a break, and we'll pick it up here in, oh, I don't know, 5-6 minutes, maybe 6 and a half, 1:30. Okay. There's a mute button on it, and I can mute it or leave it here if I want to. Hello. We're ready. Okay, now 53 at the bottom of the page. The Valley of Judgment, the Angels of Punishment, and the Communities of the Elect One. And then you turn the page and it says, there mine eyes saw a deep valley with open mouths. And all who dwell on the earth and the sea and the islands shall bring to him gifts and presents and tokens of homage, but that deep valley shall not become full. And their hands commit lawless deeds. And the sinners devour all whom they lawlessly oppress. Yet the sinners shall be destroyed before the face of the Lord of spirits. And they shall be banished from off the face of his earth. And they shall perish forever and ever. For I saw all the angels of punishment abiding there, and preparing all the instruments of Satan. And I asked the angel of peace who went with me, for whom are these preparing these instruments? And he said unto me, these prepare these for the kings of the mighty of this earth, and the mighty of this earth, that they may be thereby destroyed. And after this, the righteous and the elect one shall cause the house of the congregation to appear. After this, the righteous and elect one shall cause the house of his congregation to appear. Henceforth, they shall no more be hindered in the name of the Lord of Spirits. It's like an introduction to his bride, to his church. And he's causing that house to appear. And these mountains shall not stand as the earth before his righteousness, but the hill shall be as a fountain of water. In other words, just melt away. And the righteousness shall have rest from the oppression of sinners, and the righteous shall have rest. And I looked and turned to another part of the earth, and saw there a deep valley with burning fire. Now, I believe when you're talking about a valley with burning fire, that we're talking about lava flows. Okay, that there's fire literally pulling out. If you ever go on Google Earth and start looking around the earth, it's amazing how much of the earth is covered with lava flows. Yeah, it is really amazing. And they brought the kings and the mighty and began to cast them into this deep valley. And there mine eyes saw how they made these their instruments, iron chains of immeasurable weight. And I asked the angel of peace, who went with me, saying, "For whom are these chains being prepared?" And he said to me, "These are being prepared for the host of Azazel, so that they may take them and cast them into the abyss of complete condemnation, that they shall cover their jaws with rough stones, as the Lord of Spirits commanded." Building chains out of metal. The angels are doing that so that they can wrap these guys up, tie them up, and put them away. You know, you kind of tend to think that things are more symbolic than real. But this makes it sound pretty darn real, that they're really going to put them in shackles. And Michael and Gabriel and Raphael and Panuel shall take hold of them on that great day and cast them on that day into the burning furnace, probably the lake of fire, that the Lord of Spirits may take vengeance on them for their unrighteousness in becoming subject to Satan and leading astray those who dwell on the earth. Now, this is happening for the kings and the mighty, and also for the angels. They became subject to Satan, and in doing so, they led astray those who dwell on the earth. That's their sin. In those days shall punishment come from the Lord of Spirits, and he shall open all the chambers of water which are above the heavens and the fountains that are beneath the earth, and all the waters shall be joined with waters which is above the heavens, is the masculine, and the water that's beneath the earth is feminine, and they shall destroy all who dwell, and on the earth those who dwell under the ends of the heavens. And when they have recognized their unrighteousness, which they shall have wrought on the earth, then by these shall they perish. This is a reference back, if you look up at the top of the page, to the first world judgment. This is the 2 Peter 2, 4 and 5, is exactly this, that the judgment of the old world, of the unrighteous men and the angels and all of that were judged. And they talked about that, and it was judged by Noah's flood. And that's what's being referred to here, is Noah's flood. That's not what's happening in the day at the end, but this is an intermediate one, and they say that here. It's a fragment. After that, the head of days repented and said, "In vain have I destroyed all who dwell on the earth, And he sware by his great name, henceforth I will not do so to all who dwell on the earth. I will set a sign in heaven, and this is, will be a pledge of good faith between me and them forever, so long as heaven is above earth, and that there is, and this is in accordance to my command, when I have desired to take hold of them by the hand of the angels in the day of tribulation and pain. Because of this, I will cause my chastisement, my wrath, to abide upon them, saith God, the Lord of spirits. Ye mighty men who dwell on the earth, ye shall have to behold mine elect one, how he sits on the throne of glory and judges Azazel and all his associates and all his hosts in the name of the Lord of spirits. So what he's saying here is, this is going back to the sign in heaven. The same thing we find in Genesis, when God says, I'll never again destroy all the earth through a flood. And it repented him, and he set a sign, the bow, in heaven. Well, this is a repeat, or I should say probably the first time that story has been told. And, of course, this story is being told before it happened. The other story is being told after it happened. Genesis is after, this is before. And I saw there the hosts of the angels of punishment going, and they held scourges and chains and iron and bronze. And I asked the angel of peace who went with me, saying, to whom are these who hold the scourges going? And he said unto me, to their elect and beloved ones, that they may be cast into the chasm in the abyss of the valley. And then the valley shall be filled with their elect and beloved, and the days of their life shall be at an end, and all the days of their leading astray shall not henceforth be reckoned. This is a kind of interesting, because the angels of punishment, this is either the angels of punishment are the angels who have been incarcerated, being brought out and having to take their own beloved and chastise them and throw them in. Okay. And, or, because it says this is their elect and beloved ones, or it is referring to the fact that the angels that are called the angels of punishment are punishing other angels that they know and beloved. Are beloved by them. I mean, the whole idea here is that whoever is being thrown in there is loved by the people throwing them in. And these are angels of punishment that are throwing them in there to be punished. I suppose I would fall to the latter, that when we read earlier in this book that Enoch, they said, Enoch, come here. The scribe Enoch, and they said, Enoch, go to those watchers. Now, these are watchers, the watchers of God speaking. They come and they say to him, go to the watchers who have done this. Tell them and deal with them. And Enoch does that. He reproves them. He goes, he tries to represent them before God, and all that stuff takes place. But these other watchers, they knew these guys. They knew these angels. And I think there's a certain amount of, you know, you don't have to do this to your friends. You don't have to do this to your beloved. Because these were all watchers who had been watching on earth doing what God wanted to do, and 200 of them went astray. And I'm wondering if this isn't the fact that now these angels that have to execute punishment upon them actually say, we know these guys, and they're beloved. You know, it would be like having to take somebody that you've known for a long time and deal with them. It would be a hard thing to do. The opposite of that is that the angels themselves, the fathers, were having to take the spirits of the Nephilim and them and deal with them. Okay, and because it's also, they are called their beloved. The original angels, the 200, their children and wives were called the beloved ones, and earlier in the book. And, you know, maybe that's what they're having to do, that they're being required to do this. Why? Because they're the ones responsible for it. Because in the days of their leading astray shall not be thenceforward be reckoned. And in those days the angels shall return and hurl themselves to the east upon the Parthians and the Medes. They shall stir up the kings, so that the spirit of unrest shall come upon them, and they shall rouse them from their thrones, and they shall break forth as lions from their lairs, and hungry wolves from their flocks. Now, this is almost more like scripture for us, where we're hearing about a battle amongst people and whatever. And this is all angels causing this to happen. This is something that you have to understand, that battles that are going on are fought in the spirit first. There are angels fighting in the Middle East right now, lining up on both sides, jockeying for position, trying to figure out what to do next. It's not just Benjamin Netanyahu and our president and a few other people trying to figure out what they're going to do. There are angels behind the scenes and stirring people up. Here it is, it says that they're doing this. The Parthians and the Medes basically are the Iranians today. They're being stirred up and a spirit of unrest is upon them. You think that's happening today? And they shall go out and tread underfoot the land of the elect ones. And the land of his elect ones shall be before them as a threshing floor and on a highway. They're going to come against Israel, and we know they are. But the city of my righteous shall be a hindrance to their horses, and they shall begin to fight amongst themselves, and their right hand shall be strong against themselves. And a man shall not know his brother, nor his father, his father or his mother, till there be no number of corpses through their slaughter, and their punishment be not in vain. Now, I think this is a very overview of a very complicated set of things. We would call it basically Armageddon, of what's going on, where so many people are killed. And it's a very complex event, but it's being simplified here for us. In those days, Sheol shall open its jaws, and they shall be swallowed up therein, and their destruction shall be at an end. Sheol shall devour the sinners in the presence of the elect. Okay, the Lord is going to have the final say. And it came to pass after this, I saw another host of wagons and men riding thereon and coming on the winds from the east. Now, that word wagons, it's not like the scriptures where I can go to a concordance and go all the way back to the very beginning and find the root Chaldean meaning of that word and you know, and have some idea of what's really being said. You know, because this, you know, all you can see is a Conestoga wagon, you know, and a bunch of people coming across the desert. And it's really hard. And then, you know, the men, they're riding on it. But then all of a sudden, they're coming on the winds from the east. See, and I'm saying, well, that speaks to me of that they're in some sort of vehicle. Now, when I was doing the Assyrian book that I had, there was a place in there where they talked about wagons. And that, when you boiled that one down, it meant wheeled weapons, like tanks and artillery, wheeled artillery and things like that. You know, and it could be the same thing here, that they're coming a host of a military convoy, basically, and riding on the winds and from the southwest to the south. And the noise of their wagons was heard. And when this turmoil took place, the holy ones of heaven remarked it. Whatever was going on here, it was so big that the angel said, hey, did you hear that? Wow, what's going on down there? What's going on? I mean, this is big time stuff. This isn't just some people out in the desert. They remarked it. And the pillars of the earth were moved from their place. Probably the kind of weapons we're talking about here could shake the very earth itself. And the sound thereof was heard from the one end of heaven to the other in one day, and they shall all fall down and worship the Lord of spirits, and this is the end of the second parable. It's happening in this just tremendous battle, just getting interesting. That's the end of the parable. I mean, it's interesting, but you'd like to know a little bit more. I have a feeling that most of that can be found in the Old Testament. Yeah, yeah. See, there are things in here that are in more detail than the Old Testament. By the same token, there are things in the Old Testament that are in more detail than there is in here. And by the time you start putting all of it together, then you start getting a really good feel for what's going on. What this book, in general, doesn't do is it seems to skip around. Okay? We look at the Bible and we study prophecies and we get some sequences. But then we have to be careful because there are other times when those sequences are jumbled up. Or that it goes through a set of sequences and then stops and goes back and tells it a little bit differently. Same thing. And so you can't just say this happens and then this and then find out that, wow, this really is it's the same thing. Only there are things in the second account of the same thing that you need to get. And you need to see things a little differently between the two so that you can have a better understanding of what's going on. This book is a little harder than that because things are not in chronological order at all. Okay, they are when you're talking about events. But if we didn't have the Old Testament, this would not be as much fun as we're seeing right now. The blessedness of the saints. And I began to speak the third parable. Concerning the righteous and elect, blessed are ye, ye righteous and elect, for glorious shall be your lot. Amen. And I added amen. And the righteous shall be in the light of the sun, and the elect in the light of eternal life. Amen. The days of their life shall be unending, everlasting life, and the days of the holy without number. They shall seek the light and find righteousness with the Lord of spirits. There shall be peace to the righteous in the name of the eternal Lord. And after this, it shall be said to the holy in heaven that they should seek out the secrets of righteousness, the heritage of faith. For it has become bright as the sun upon the earth, and the darkness has passed. Hallelujah. I mean, you know that as Christians, that's the day we look for. That's the blessed hope, is the day when God sets everything right on this earth. And no more do we have to see the things that go on. No more do we have to hear it. The vexation of our souls for the things that are said and the things that are done around us. Amen? Hallelujah. Sorry. And there shall be a light that never endeth. And to a limit, literally number, of days there shall not come. For darkness shall have first been destroyed, and the light established before the Lord of spirits, and the light of uprightness established forever before the Lord of spirits. Hallelujah. We'll stop here. Yes. Yeah, yeah, no, that's true. That's true. And the heritage of faith, boy, that's an interesting statement, heritage of faith. That's going to be something that will be interesting to look into. Because I think, you know, every one of us in this room has a story. Every one of us in this room has a story before God and before man. And they don't come out. We live with each other. We talk about each other. We go to work. We do all kinds of stuff. We worship. But the story of our lives and the story of the things that God has done for us are so much deeper than anyone will ever know. Sometimes we even forget all the things that God has done for us. And, you know, and then sometimes something will happen and you'll just go, oh, God, I remember that. I remember you telling me that. I remember that situation. And then you see the hand of God and the blessedness of God, and we move on. That is the heritage of faith. Imagine in God if we could have access to and time for being able to hear everyone's story and seeing how God moved miraculously and how that just to help someone receive something that he had promised them, that he moved this and this and this and that. and this person went here, and everything else, to move it around so that person could have that moment and bless God. You know that that took place. You know that that's taking place today, and that God is working all things together for good for those who love Him. I mean, for good. And all of that is your heritage of faith that you could have when you go to heaven and sit down and say, God, how did that happen? How did that happen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Lord, ask God you be with these people and give them traveling mercies as they leave this place. Put a hedge around them, a hedge of your angels, O God, and your blood, O God, shed on Calvary for our sins as a covering, Lord God, of your righteousness to be extended over us, Lord God, that we can walk in the covenant and all the promises of yea and amen, Lord God, that's who we are, that's who you are, Lord God. Lord God, increase our faith. Stir us up, O God, to understand your ways and to walk in your ways and to look forward, O God, to the day, Lord God, when we won't be here anymore, Lord, and that these things will come to pass just like we're reading. We thank you now. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.